From the WGXC newsroom, this is The Weekend in Review. Some of the stories that made the news between Friday, April 14th through Sunday, April 16th. I'm Philip Grant. The New York State Department of Taxation and Finance announced on April 14th it has extended the hours of the Income Tax Call Center through the April 18th filing deadline to assist taxpayers. On Monday, April 17th and Tuesday, April 18th, 518-457-5181 will be answered until 7:30 p.m. to assist taxpayers with last-minute tax return filing questions. The call center's regular hours are 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Monday through Friday. Go to www.tax.newyork.gov for more information on the tax deadline. Steve Barnes reported in the Times Union that thousands participated in the tax march and rally held at the state capitol on Saturday, April the 15th, in protest of President Donald Trump's continued refusal to release his tax returns. Approximately 150 gatherings were held nationwide on National Tax Deadline Day, demanding that Trump release his full tax information. He is the first U.S. president and the first major party nominee in more than 40 years to refuse to disclose that material. Assemblymember Patricia Fahey, Democrat of Albany, who was one of the speakers on Saturday, said, and I quote, "Had those taxes been released, there may have been a different result for the election," end quote. Fahey and fellow Assemblymember Phil Scheck, a Democrat from Colony, are co-sponsors of pending legislation which would require candidates seeking a ballot line in New York to release a full 5 years of tax returns. The measure is called the Tax Return Uniformly Made Public, or TRUMP Act. Similar legislation has been introduced in 27 other states. Steck said at the protests, and I quote, "We need a real movement for change in this country," end quote. Greg Justino, a 16-year-old from Slingerlands who was among the rally organizers, said, and I quote, "So many of my friends are involved and aware and passionate about what's going on in this country. We're reclaiming patriotism, saying we're Americans too," end quote. Paul Kirby reported in the Daily Freeman that U.S. Representative John Faso will conduct a live stream interview on Wednesday, April 19th with the paper's staff beginning at 9 a.m. Questions for the first-term Republican can be sent in advance to pkirby@freemanonline.com or via live stream link at www.dailyfreeman.com during the hour-long interview. Faso is advocating policies to increase opportunity for families and supports reforms to boost the economy and improve the quality of life for New Yorkers, according to his website. Faso says he has championed ideas to combat the heroin epidemic, treat Lyme disease, and increase health insurance coverage options for patients and small businesses. He has been pointed to the House Budget, Transportation and Infrastructure, and Agricultural Committees. As a member of the Budget Committee, he is among those who voted yes to advance the troubled Republican health care bill. Faso has run afoul of many 19th Congressional District constituents for failing to hold traditional in-person town hall meetings since he joined Congress in January. He also refuses to publish his schedule online, as his predecessor Chris Gibson did. Harry Allen reported in the Register-Star that the last remaining building of the old State of New York Volunteer Firemen's Home was demolished on Friday, April the 14th. The building stood at its location off of Harry Howard Avenue in Hudson for more than 110 years. The structure first served as the administrator's residence and later the administration building for the home, which provides specialized rehabilitation for former volunteer firefighters. Robert Leonard, executive vice president of the Firemen's Association of the State of New York, said, and I quote, "The former administration building on the campus has long outlived usefulness and has been falling into a further state of poor health in recent years, all while costing the association tens of thousands of dollars a year to maintain. The Firemen's Home moved from the original building into its existing facility in June 2007. CBS 6 Albany reported that officials in Greene and Columbia counties have announced plans to form a task force to combat the spread of drug abuse in both counties. County leaders said the problem is escalating. There have been at least 8 fatal drug overdoses during the past month. On Wednesday, April 12th, the Columbia County Board of Supervisors received hands-on training with Narcan, the heroin overdose reversal drug, during the board's regular meeting. Speaking to WRGB-TV, Hudson's 4th Ward Supervisor Bill Hughes said county leaders on both sides of the river will now identify where there are overlaps and gaps in services. He said one issue is the lack of a local recovery or treatment center, so the long-range plan is to go in that direction. Hughes said, and I quote, "hopefully sooner rather than later, depending on if the state can help," end quote. Claire Hughes is reporting in the Times Union that while the State Health Department and emergency responders says there is evidence of a shortage of Narcan or naloxone, advocates say the miracle drug is getting harder to acquire free of charge. Albany-based Project Safe, which distributes clean needles and other supplies by mobile vans and trains people to administer naloxone, now prioritizes the distribution of the drug. Project Safe Point Director of Prevention Services, Joseph Philippone, said the group is more closely controlling distribution for a number of reasons, including inconsistencies in the state delivery system and the rise in overdoses, especially from fentanyl, the powerful synthetic short-acting narcotic. The group recently learned it can take as many as 10 doses of naloxone to reverse a fentanyl overdose. Statewide, opioid-related deaths rose nearly 150% from 2005 to 2014 to 1,443 annually, and the trend is showing no signs of slowing. Chatham Police Chief Peter Volkman has had no trouble getting naloxone to meet his department needs. Volkman said he does hear from people concerned about the impending shortage, but believes that they may be needlessly scrambling to get a kit. Volkman said, and I quote, "I'm just hearing we may not have it, and people are freaking out. It reminds me of the flu shot when they said we may not have enough. Then everyone went and got a flu shot," end quote. Finally, the Chatham Courier reported that the Chatham Area Business Alliance is now Chatham Area Business and Arts. Tom Chulak, co-owner of the Chatham Bookstore and the group's president, said the new name was chosen to reflect the growing importance of arts-related businesses and organizations in the Chatham area. The organization serves the village and town of Chatham, Austerlitz, and Canaan. Chulak said, and I quote, "the economic and cultural vitality of the Chatham area is interwoven with businesses and the arts. Our reorganization and new name reflect that reality," end quote. Chatham Area Business and Arts sponsors 3 village festivals annually, and its marketing committee promotes the area through visitchathamnewyork.com and social media, and hosts bi-monthly breakfasts for networking and learning. The organization is now in the process of establishing an education committee. And now for the weather. The National Weather Service in Albany is predicting a mostly sunny day for today with the temperature high near 59 degrees. But Monday night it will be mostly clear with a low around 39. The forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Tuesday it will be mostly sunny with a high near 60 degrees. Tuesday night mostly cloudy with a low around 40. And on Wednesday, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a high near 57 degrees. Wednesday night, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a low around 45. Sunrise today was at 6:10 a.m., and the sun will set at 7:39 p.m. That will give us 13 hours and 29 minutes of daylight, about 2.5 minutes more than yesterday. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio Weekend in Review for today, Monday, the 17th day of April, 2017. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.